Is this working?
Gotta love technology, I tell you.
Oh my God. Well, thank God it wasn't a job interview, because, like, geez. Who needs this stuff in their life?
If they don't have patience with understanding technology, then they really are not going to find a proper candidate, because these are the candidates you want that can troubleshoot the difficult challenges with technology and then can come up and show up. And what's the questions now again?
Okay, so I'm ready for the job interview then.
For coming on to the Lift Oneself podcast, Clarissa, I'm so thankful you're here with me.
I'm so happy you asked me. I mean, I just love everything that you've been doing for so long. And, you know, anything I think that allows us to, like, take the time to dig deeper into ourselves, I'm here for it. So,
yeah, I'm a disruptor. So
we need people like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I held back a lot, and I had to find the confidence within myself to be able to be in that space, because not everybody wants to go that deep. And the ego does not like being threatened. So I understand that the ego is part of the nervous system. And so I'm able to co-regulate nervous systems. And so that self-judgment is gone. And then people just start speaking, and they're like, I don't know how I can talk to you about this stuff. And I'm like, it's because you're finally able to be honest with yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
It's be a really with your big, emotions.
Yeah. It's a big part of it. You know, I mean, I did take psychology in school, and of course, like, you know, just in working with vulnerable populations, you know, I think everything is built on relationships, not just with other people, but obviously with ourselves. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's that intimacy. A lot of people think intimacy is only sexual, and they think it's external with other people. Mm-hmm. It's really the intimacy within yourself. Mm-hmm. And the deeper you can go within yourself, you're able to share that with somebody else and other people in the relationships. Yeah. Yet we at times all the time go outwardly rather than inwardly. We go from the outside to go in instead of the inside to go out.
100%.
And it's just having to reverse that logic and that sense of we're looking for attachment, but really what we need is seeking connection.
For sure. But I mean, like, you know, attachment is based in a sense of security, right? And if you're not sure in yourself, how are you going to then be sure in your relationships with others? So
exactly.
And I get it.
Yeah. And it's giving people the language for themselves, because I think a lot of times what I see in therapy or coaching or psychology or whatever there is in mental health, it's like you can say something to somebody, yet it has to make sense from the inside out.
Yeah.
People cannot apply something if it doesn't make sense to them.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, that's why it's so important for people to understand the science, because if they take the time to understand the science behind things, then they can really detach from this idea of what's wrong with me, right? And instead look at it like, oh, okay, that's how my brain is working, or that's how my nervous system is working. That's how my response, you know, I'm triggered by XYZ. I understand that now. So it kind of takes the pressure off of, you know, that idea that something is wrong with them, which I think, you know, once you start feeling like you're not enough or there's something wrong, then, you know, that's when you're going to retreat. And yeah. You're less likely to be like, hey, here I am. Right. If you're thinking that who you are, what you are, how you are is not enough. So,
yeah. And I think we all have that root in all of us, mm-hmm. Because there's this sense of lack. We were always told from a young child that you don't know enough. You don't know what you're thinking. You don't know what you're feeling. You don't know what you're seeing with other people. You haven't gotten there yet. Get better, get perfect. So that indoctrination gets embedded in you. And then that grows a root of, well, I must not be good enough because everybody keeps telling me I'm not there yet, or I don't know what I'm thinking, or I don't know what I'm feeling. I don't know what I'm seeing. So you start to disconnect from the body and you start disconnecting from self because your intuition, you think it doesn't know what it's seeing. Because the adults are, you know, I think they're all honest and have it all together until I become an adult and I see, oh, y'all were bullshitting this whole freaking time. I knew what was going on. I knew when I was coming into these rooms, something was wrong. But y'all were like, no, it's all in your head. There's nothing wrong. Right. Everything's okay. And it's like, my gut doesn't feel like that. Like, what is this stuff? Yeah. And we're feeling bodies that think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as children, we're told, your intuition, don't listen to that thing. It doesn't know what it's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right.
I see the big smile.
Yeah. Just so many things with that. You know, I think, you know, children and my experience in working with children and learning children, there's something really special about seeing kids just have the ability to like let go or not even have all of those restrictions on thought and possibility and, you know, the idea of exploration and things like that. So, you know, we lose a lot of that along the way because of other things that are often imposed on us or to us, right? That don't lend themselves to that, because the message is exactly that. It is that everyone else knows better than you know. And, you know, I think that children having a sense of agency is so important. They need to know, just like adults need to know, right? That our words, our opinion, our place matters.
Yeah. Very much. Very much. Let's take a breath together.
Yeah.
So breathe in through your nose. And a slow exhale. How's your heart doing?
Heavy. Yeah. I think that, you know, the past weekend and the news of everything that happened in Buffalo, you know, we receive all of this information, whether we want to or not, right? And then we're left with figuring out, like, how am I going to process it, all while the world and life around us continues to go on. So that's hard, you know, it's hard to show up, I think, especially, you know, because of my presence on social media and wanting to be available for other people. Sometimes it's really hard, you know, to like step outside of or beside, you know, having those feelings of like, I really just kind of want to like get underneath the covers and forget that all this is happening. It's hard, you know, it's hard to deal with that and to make sense of things that don't make sense. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, I took yesterday to just kind of like, I needed to just escape it all in my own way and attempt to try to make sense of something that doesn't make sense, all while at the same time, you know, respecting my own space and the space of other people. So it's tough.
Yeah. I appreciate that transparency and honesty, because, you know, when you're coaching and when you're the leader for other people to show emotions and to show the heaviness and the empathy, it's like, well, I don't want to inconvenience people. I don't want them to feel activated in their heavy emotions. Yet if we don't display it, then people don't know how to navigate in their humanness.
Yeah. Yeah, like for sure. And you know, I think for me, one of the things that I just continue to learn on a daily basis is like just how to be in my own authentic self, like who I am, what I feel. If people think that, you know, the way that I think is too airy-fairy, I mean, it's okay, because that that's 100% who I am.
Yeah. And it's to love that and to secure it in that love and to validate it. Because a lot of us look for validation on the outside. Like as much as we say, oh, I don't care what people think and I don't care. And it's like, yeah, you do, because you have your own self-judgment. And your self-judgment thinks other people are thinking this stuff about you. And you have to recognize that we're always trying to seek that validation for safety and security. And we forget that we are a person to do that for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And to be there with all of our emotions, not a la carte of picking which ones we want to be with. It's right. Being whole with a W and being with all of our emotions and listening to them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I think everybody, of course, is different. I've always been an emotional person. But I think that's because I just feel things deeply, right? Whether they be like happy, excited, like big positive emotions, or the other side of things too. You know, and I think that it is a gift in itself. I know some people are like, my gosh, she's crying again. Yeah, I am. And it's okay. That's me. I'm a crier. You know, I mean, I own it proudly, but I also know that my ability to express my emotions allows people to feel connected. It allows people to be like, wow, you know, I get that. I feel that, because I'm a big believer that energy doesn't lie. And if I was to, you know, hide the way that I was feeling, I think people could tell. And I could tell I'm not a good hider of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's also too, the way that we connect is when it's relatable. And a lot of times people don't know. That's one of the work that I do as a coach, is allowing people to uncover the emotions that they've been suppressing and start to feel them and let that energy pass through and release it. And it's that there's a lot of them that they don't have a language for it. They have not interacted with it. They shut it completely off. And so when you can be in that, it gives them the ability, oh, wait, I can relate to this and I don't have to be so scared of this kind of monster or shadow that's in me that I think is going to harm me, where it's like, oh, it'll be some big waves, yet I have the ability to swim through it, to navigate, or even just dive deep in it. And I won't drown. It might feel like I'm drowning, yet I won't drown.
Yeah. It's a scary feeling, I think, you know, to uncover. I think that's a lot of the reasons why people are scared to go to therapy, right? It's like, you know, you have all these questions. Well, where do I start? Well, I have to go in order, and well, it's not going to make sense, right? Instead of just like how you started, you know, take a breath and let's just be here now. Whatever happens, happens. And, you know, I think that being a young mom at 17, right? And then years later, working at the same organization that I got my education and support and childcare from, it wasn't until I got there and I started working at the center and they asked me to speak at a fundraising event and to kind of share my story that I actually realized that I had one.
Big one.
And, you know, I think because a lot of the times we just exist. We exist in this place and okay, I wake up, I do the things, I go to sleep, I wake up, I do the thing, you know, and it's on repeat. Instead of looking at your experience as something that has so much value, you know, and there were times I remember, you know, I would have like, say, 3 or 4 speaking engagements in a week. And I remember one time in particular, I was tired. You know, I was like, I really don't want to go and do this, but it's my job. Okay, I'll go. And I had only 5 minutes up on stage to like share my story and share information about the organization. And when I came off the stage, this woman ran out of the room and she came up to me and, you know, she said, can I share my story with you? It was beautiful. Right. And I was like, this is why I'm here. This is why talking, sharing, exchanging, right, can make such a difference, because in those 5 minutes, she was able to be lit up, right? And say like, I want to share something with you now. And it was like an amazing story about how she was a young mom too, and how 40 years later through ancestry DNA, you know, she found her son and she just couldn't wait to spread that word of hope and possibility. And, you know, I remember walking to my car after and I was like, yeah, there's just one of those reminders. You know, there's purpose in all of it. Yeah,
there is. There's alchemy. I call it the alchemy because some of it is pretty shitty, pretty dense, and it feels like it's worthless and there's nothing good that can come out of it. Yet there is an alchemy, because I truly see in my own life that nothing's wasted. Mm. Nothing's wasted. Even the most traumatic, painful, violent memories you may have, they can be transformed if you allow it and if you're willing. If you're willing to surrender into it and see a different side of it. And it takes
Absolutely. I mean, I think the reason why things can happen to one person and happen to a next person, and one person can feel totally affected by it in a positive way and someone not, is simply because that person has made the connection, right? If you're not aware enough to make the connection and to say, oh, there's opportunity for growth or learning here.
Yeah.
Right. As opposed to staying in a place of like being a victim. You know, I mean, when I hear people say that life happens for you, it doesn't happen to you, it's so true. And once you adopt a belief system like that, then you know you can conquer anything that comes your way. Right. I mean, you know, I think about my marriage and my relationship and how happy and thankful I am for him. And it makes me realize that the hurt before, the devastation, the tears, you know, all of that, I give thanks for that. I give thanks for that because without that, I could be on a completely different path. Mm-hmm. You just never
brings appreciation.
Absolutely.
Because you don't know what you need and you don't know what you want until you experience what you don't want. Mm-hmm. And it pushes you into a compass of where you need to be. Yet everything is a spectrum. It's not one or the other. They're intertwined with each other. Like without joy, you need sadness. You need the pain. Yet we're just, no, it's just one side of the coin. And it's like, no, it's not, it's not flipping sides. It's embracing the whole coin.
Exactly. Existing in that space where you can feel more than one thing at the same time. Right. Yeah. I can certainly appreciate that. And I think that having, you know, that, that belief that I can be confused and I can be hopeful in the same space, you know, that whole idea of like, it has to be one or the other. That's where you throw yourself off. That's where you like contain yourself to this box, right? I mean, how are you supposed to know 100% how something's going to go or that you're on the right path? And a lot of the times it's just a matter of like, if I could just let go and just be here now. You know, one of my mentors has said, everything is data. And when you look at things like that, right, you look at the experience like, okay, you know, it's not what's wrong with me or so-and-so did this to me or, you know, everything always happens to me. You know, when you look at it as data, you're like, okay, I have this and now what? Now, what am I going to do with it? Right. Which kind of like helps propel you into some kind of action, it does. Which is what we need, obviously, to move forward.
Exactly. Because life is movement. And, you know, one thing that I was speaking to a previous guest, we were getting into patience and how patience has been misused so much And people think it's a passive thing. People think it's a standstill thing, yet it's a very slow moving process.
Right.
Very slow moving, yet it still needs action in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to, and so a lot of times people, you know, use patience as something that is a behavior tactic. So when people try to activate patience, they think, well, I got to cut off my will and I got to cut off my desires. And it's like, no, that's not what that was. That was just because other people couldn't handle your curiosity and your antsy and wanting something to be here. You had to understand your impulsivity.
Yes.
And I think that is something that as you get older, you get to redefine if you're willing to see what patience really is with yourself. Because we think patience is like, oh, with other people, it's like, actually, it's yourself. Like, you know how much times you have to be kind with yourself and remind yourself to be kind, remind yourself to, like you said, I'm crying again, here we go, or angry or elated, or, you know, you made a mistake. And it's like having to re-come with that patience with yourself.
Absolutely.
With your humanity.
Yeah. Giving yourself grace, you know. Even when I have worked with youth, you know, we would often meet people where they're at, right? And part of meeting people where they're at is like, again, having the patience to move through the process. Like, you have to be able to see yourself as a human. It's like, you know, when you look at relationships often with like parents, because they're supposed to be the caregivers, they're supposed to be the ones that have all the answers and know all of the things, right? But when we get older, I think we have the ability to then kind of stand still in that moment and be like, they're human beings too, which can then lead itself, right, to create a lot more space for forgiveness and understanding, and, you know, believing that people do the best that they can with what they have at the moment, you know. And it's what we should be telling ourselves too. So often we will forgive, we will, you know, give other chances to, we'll say all the positive things, you know, to friends, family, kids, whatever. But when it comes to us, oh no, no. You know, you can't make mistakes, or you can't, you know, try again. You have to. And I think like, that's why, you know, for me with this health and wellness coaching, it's something that I talk about all the time. You have to give yourself grace. You have to be able to say, I am learning. No one walks in the room an expert. I don't care what it is you're doing. And if someone is considered an expert, it's because they've had lots of experience, and all that experience has not all been positive. The only way to keep going is to continue to try again. So like, just do it. You know, I know it's hard. I know it's hard because being uncomfortable is hard, but it's so worth it.
Yeah. There's times where I have brain fog, where there's low energy, I don't want to do anything, I'm not motivated. And let me tell you, I had no idea what I needed until I tried Magic Mind. So I was a bit skeptic trying this Magic Mind, not thinking it was really going to do anything. Let me tell you, I was so wrong. Now, the reason I was skeptic is because it's all natural ingredients, such as ceremonial grade matcha, lion's mane mushroom, turmeric cumin. And you know what? I had no idea that it would lift my energy, drive focus, and boost my mood. What I had as procrastination before wasn't there. The brain fog was lifted. And, you know, I tried it in several different ways. I did it before a podcast. Another day I did it before having to coach a client. Another day I did it when I had to do physical activities with the twins. And each time there was clarity and energy. It was fantastic. Sharing is caring. And for you, the listener, I'm able to offer you a discount code. Yeah. For the next 10 days, you are able to get 40% off your subscription. go to the link www.magicmind.co/lift and use my discount code LIFT20. You don't know until you try it. And let me tell you, I've tried it and I am a subscriber now. Don't wait. Can you explain to the people what commit and conquer means for you?
So what I do is I am an independent Beachbody coach. And so Beachbody is an online platform of workouts and health supplements and whatnot. As a coach, my job or opportunity really is to be able to inspire people to create change. And that doesn't always mean a number on the scale, although that's where a lot of people start, right? But one of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to create not just a team name, but a community. And for me, a community is not just about a group. It's about like a belief system. You know, it holds values. And so I remember when I was kind of running through some different ideas of names and whatnot, one day it just came to me. I was like, it's commit and conquer, not commit and conquer in the sense of I have a goal, I reach the goal and I'm done. Now, this is wake up every day, commit to myself, commit to serve other people and conquer each and every single task. And that doesn't mean to conquer it successfully, but it means to continue to show up. And so for me, that is really what it's about. And I think also, you know, looking at it like by making a commitment to yourself, you have the ability to conquer anything that is put in front of you. And that in itself just lights me on fire. Like if I had the ability to share with everyone and to tell them what this is about, because so many people think it's just about the workout. I'm like, listen, man, this is not about the workout. The physical activity is like the vehicle that takes you where you want to go. I have done workouts and programs where I've cried, where I'm like, I can't do this. But what a beautiful freaking release it is. And, you know, there's been times where I've had tough workouts and I picture things and people, you know, who have counted me out. But it pushes me to want to be better. It pushes me to want to be better. And it reminds me what I'm capable of. And I never thought that I would wake up every day and want to start my day by pouring into myself and by reminding myself that I'm capable. You know, I think one of the biggest messages that I want to share with people is like, we have to move away from this idea of, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. Y'all, there's people who didn't wake up today. So we don't have to, we get to. And when you can change your mindset, you can change your life. Once you learn it, for me, even if you go in a dip or you go through a time where you're struggling, you still have it. You still have it because you have that time when you did feel good or you had that time where you did accomplish X, Y, Z. You know, it's a matter of not staying in those low places for a longer period of time. But those low places happen to everybody still. That's just life.
Yeah, to be human is traumatic.
Yeah.
It like a lot of people talk about trauma and they talk about childhood. And yes, it in childhood, it does a programming to the nervous system. Mm-hmm. So unless you release those narratives and those memories that are lodged into the system, then it's always putting a filter on your perception. And it's, you know, the nervous system is built on problems. So it's always going to look for the negative. And until you heal that perception and shift it into solutions, you don't see what the ability is. Yet in the everydays, like I just asked you, how's your heart? Buffalo just was a traumatic thing. you know, Supreme Court just came with an open statement that anybody intoxicated will be absolved from any criminal conviction if they sexually assault somebody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't appreciate the narrative that it's only men against women, because there are some women that sexually violate men also.
Yeah.
But the bigger part is men. Or, you know, in the States, there's a big debate about abortions. And mm-hmm. And that's just a little fraction. We didn't even get into the Ukraine. We didn't get into Russia. We didn't get into China and lockdown. So to be human, as life keeps going and its impermanence, is traumatic. And so we always have to have the ability to come back, shift your perception. Where are you? What are you feeling? Release it. And we're going to have some lows. People are going to pass away. People are going to transition. Grieving is not only when somebody has died. Mm-hmm. You lost a job. You lost a relationship. You may have won something, yet that means you're going to lose something else. So grieving is not just in a human or animal form that something, it's our experiences and who we were at that part and where we're going. And so these are things that people don't even take into consideration of what they're experiencing inside their body. Mm-hmm. And to have the ability to release it, let the energy pass through you. Yeah, don't hoard it. Sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we get it from all different shapes and forms too, right? You know, one of the things I have decided to protect my own space and peace is I choose not to watch the news. Some people can agree or disagree. I really don't care, because I need to do what I need to do for me. But that doesn't mean that I don't get it still. You know what I'm saying? You get it from other people who watch the news. Love my mom dearly, but she's the first one to be like, did you see the news? And then she's like, oh yeah, that's right. Okay. I know you don't watch it, but I just have to tell you. I'm like, okay, mom, I know. But right, when people hear stuff like that, or they experience it, often what we need or want to do is like share it with someone else, right? It's too much for one person to hold on to themselves. But you know, life is an experience all in all. And, you know, our brains, I don't think, are built to exist in a space like this. You know, but at the same time, here we are. And when I think about the alternative, I'm happy to be here and to experience this life. But it is a lot, which is why practices of gratitude or journaling or therapy or like whatever it is you need to do it. You cannot hold all of that stuff in and think, you know, air quotes, that you're going to be okay. And I mean that like in a general sense, right?
Yeah. I call the news fear porn. Mm. Because it adds a stimulant, yet people don't realize it's the stimulant of fear. And it's on a lot of things that you cannot control. So you're stuck with this hot potato and you want to pass it on, and you're passing on information to people, yet it's a sense of not having any control because there's no actionable steps that you can take. And so you feel lost in it. And as you, I mirror and I agree with you, the way technology has opened up the space, we are in information overload and our brains are not made to take in that much sensory input of information that we cannot take any actionable steps with.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. I mean, it's too much. It's too much. And, you know, I think everybody operates in a different kind of way. But I know for me, I have paid closer attention to how stimulated am I in situations around people, and, you know, finding those things that I need to do to like pause and breathe and take space. I used to be someone, I mean, I'm still would consider myself fairly busy, you know, on the go. I got a lot of things, but I also know when to like silence my phone. And I love the fact that, you know, my iPhone has that focus notification. So when people see me at 7 o'clock, boom, it comes on, right? Clarissa's notifications are silenced. I do that to protect my space. I have to, you know, so if people aren't doing that, or not that, but aren't protecting their space, it can be really tough and damaging, not just to like the thoughts in our heads and how we're feeling, but like physiologically what happens to our body when it experiences stress, right? I mean, that's why when we talk about things like vicarious trauma, and it's real. You don't need to experience it to experience the effects of it.
Mm-hmm. Anxiety is contagious. It's an energy.
Yeah.
And so, and when you hear certain stories, it has an impact in the nervous system because we are all interconnected. We're all in wired. If you want to be able to go in depth to be in that connection, yet a lot of people are just superficial and it's like, oh, I'm just this one tree. I'm not in the root system and recognizing that all of our roots are intertwined. I'm just this one tree here and it's just about me and that's it. And it's like, no, your roots are intertwined at the bottom. So what you see up here, everything underneath is all intertwined. And so when you can feel that, it's, I think that the biggest thing that people have aversion to is stillness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. Silence. I was doing that a lot in Barbados with people and it made them very uncomfortable.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it, especially if it's not something you're used to. You know, I remember I had a job where I worked with a speech and language pathologist, and we were working with toddlers specifically who had speech and language difficulties. And so sometimes we would observe parents, you know, just attempting to have conversations with their kids. There was zero space in between what the parent would say and like, you know, that time where you're waiting for a response. It would just be like, boom, 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 all of this stuff coming back. And, you know, teaching the parents that like this idea of serve and return can have space in between it. It doesn't need to be bing, 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 right? Like a tennis match. You can give it and you can wait and you can receive, right? And also just talk about patience. You're learning patience with yourself in stillness, in silence. You know, there's a lot of things that you can uncover in times when you're with and by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Things you may not want to see, yet they're needed to be seen, yeah, and uncovered.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's really understanding when you understand the conflict you have within yourself, you get to see the war that you're having.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not having to pick a side of what it's to integrate it all together so that we can have a dialogue. And there's not these arguments going on and that I have to pick a side and I have to pick who I have to be. It's like, no, it's a collage and let it be together. Can you give a definition of what self-care looks like for you?
For me, self-care looks like taking time for and by myself. It also means giving to myself first. And I know that is something that is really difficult for people to wrap their head around. I think especially as women, we're just supposed to be, you know, giving of to everyone else before we give to ourselves. And the idea of giving to ourselves is like, oh my God, I can't believe she does that, you know. But being able to do that means that I'm able to actually give more because I have taken that time for me. Self-care for me is being active, keeping my body moving, pushing past my, you know, self-limiting beliefs and challenging not only what I can do physically, but where I can go mentally. What things can I learn? Where can I go? Who can I surround myself with? Like, all of those things to me lend themselves to self-care, because it also means I'm growing. Growth is a big part of it for me. I never want to be stagnant. And I think life is a constant opportunity where we can, if we want to, put ourselves in situations where, you know, we can learn some really amazing things. But we're never going to learn, obviously, if we don't give ourselves the opportunity to try. And I think the other thing with self-care is I'm just learning that dance in between when to push myself and when to give myself permission to rest and rejuvenate. That's a big one, I think, right? Because for me, the idea of having a regular and consistent routine is something that keeps me on track, keeps me, you know, working towards my goals. But at the same time, it's like finding that space, right? Say on a day where I can, with my work schedule, if I decided to sleep in, but I kind of have to have that conversation with myself. Okay, is this a matter of like, do you need the rest? Or is this a matter of like trying to kind of get out of what you have to do? So I think just being honest with myself and what that looks like is a version of self-care. And it, you know, it's fluid. It's never going to be 100% the same.
What I learned is from the Four Agreements, your best is always going to look different. Mm. But sometimes we have this standard. It always has to look, and it's like life is always moving. So your best is going to always look different.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, you know, giving ourselves permission. It's hard. You know, I think like even as an entrepreneur, you know, I had someone say one time, well, about another entrepreneur, well, I don't understand how that person is not showing up. Like they don't have a 9 to 5 to go to. But I said, like, being an entrepreneur and the person who directs your own success and future and what you need to do is harder than being an employee. Okay. It takes a lot more skill and ability to push your own ass, because, you know, we'll show up for a boss, we'll get that report done. Yeah, I'll work 8 to 5, I'll work overtime, no problem. You know, when you are the director of your own ship, and that's in life too, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just about from a business standpoint. When you're the one in the driver's seat, it's a lot of pressure.
It is.
But it's also a lot of possibility.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's always being as you, to give another language of that fine line, like you said, when to push myself and when to allow myself to relax. It's understanding when you're overstressing the nervous system and when you're stretching it.
Yeah.
Because if you stress it, then you're going to go back. And you're going to overwhelm, and there's going to be aversion, and then it'll be even more difficult to go into the unknown, to go into the discomfort. Because what the discomfort is the unknown. It's the uncertainty of pain. Mm-hmm. And we're always kind of protecting ourselves from pain. Yet when you can let go of that and see that you have the capacity to experience pain, then you're able to feel alive and not have these guards and not be blocking possibilities, opportunities, and your potential. Yeah, it takes that inner work to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and potential, you know, I mean, when you talk about like standards and these ideas that we put on ourselves, what does that look like? You know, it's like, it was interesting. One of the trainers, she had said, the sky is not the limit. It's just the view. And I love that. You know, I love that. Like, people put these like markers on where they need to be or what things need to look like. But instead, You know, enjoy where you're at, think about where you want to go and what you need to do to get there. But, you know, be in the driver's seat of your life. My God, like, don't be a passive passenger. And so many people just sit in the seat, like, all right, they don't even ask where they're going. I mean, they're just chilling.
They don't understand it. And that's where I explain, because in my coaching, I'll give them that visual. I'm like, okay, at certain times, it's going to scare the living shit out of you, because all of a sudden you're going to realize I'm driving a vehicle. I'm not in a Tesla that's self-automated and driving. Yeah. And I've been there. And then, wait a minute, I don't have to stay on this road. I can go here and I can go there. And then you fall back asleep and you're like, no, this is too much work. I just want somebody to do the conducting and just drive, because it does take discipline and focus. It takes a lot of discipline to, you know, direct your path. It's much more easier to listen to the indoctrination of what your life is supposed to look like, because it feels safe and secure that somebody else has the messages for you. Yet when you start coming back into the body, connecting into self, being with your intuition, and most of all, unleashing your curiosity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Most people are not tethered to their curiosity anymore. And they have to let their curiosity find what would fulfill them. Not let other people tell them what would fulfill them. It's let your own curiosity fulfill you. And it may not make sense to other people, as long as it's lighting you up.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, that again, just tying it back to children, right? I mean, children are so curious. They ask all the questions, right? Without being worried about what the outcome is going to be. And unfortunately, you know, it's one of those things that we tend to lose along the way as adults. And that's why, you know, I see your stuff sometimes when you're like dancing in the rain and doing things like that and being in nature and, you know, exploring that stuff. I don't think people put enough value on going back to that place of curiosity and what it can actually do, the things that get, you know, how things like fire up inside you and you start getting excited and you can carry that excitement then into other parts and pieces of your life.
Exactly. And we've been a little bit mystified by overcomplicating our life when it can be very simple, but simple feels too challenging to be in. I needed to overcomplicate it to make it feel like I'm doing something with my life. It has to feel hard. It has to feel really difficult. Where doing the simple things, like you said, okay, doing a 20-minute exercise, mm-hmm. or even 5 minutes of exercise. When I bring people, let's do a minute meditation. It's like, what? Yet it's like that 1% changes things. Yet it's a simple thing. I'm just going to ask you to follow your breath. What? No. And it's a simple thing. It's just not easy to apply because we have been so distracted by overcomplicating things. And so when you come back into simplicity, it's like there's energy into that. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. find a whole bunch of energy.
Yes.
That
yes.
you didn't know you had the ability to have.
Absolutely. Because I do think a lot of our success is based on skills. And, you know, instead of just relying on these old messages of, yeah, that's not for me, or, oh, I don't like that, or, oh, I can't do that. You know, I think like, do you have the skills needed to be successful, whatever successful looks like for you? And a lot of the times it's just a matter of learning, having to learn new things. You don't know what you don't know. You know, but if you're not willing to attempt to learn, you kind of get stuck where you're at.
Because you don't know what's inside you and how it's a vast well. You just have to be willing to go in there mm-hmm. and bring it out. I'm going to bring you into a reflective question. Okay. I'm going to ask you to take your awareness right now and bring it back to your 18-year-old self. And I'm going to ask you to only give 3 words to your 18-year-old self that would help you navigate through your journey. what would those three words be?
Patience is speaking to me right now. Drive, you know, the ability to keep going, and hope. Hope always.
Where can the listeners find you?
So they can find me. I'm most active on Instagram. So it's Clarissa Arthur. You know, that's where I like to share just the pieces of me, you know, that I have learned to love. And when we talk about like the simplicity of stuff, you know, I mean, so often we try to create this idea of ourselves, or we don't even know who we are. What do we like, you know? So, and I've done it a few times. I'm like, I look at my Instagram and I'm like, okay, so if someone was to look at here, you know? Would they get a good picture about who I am? I love quotes. I love little tidbits of information that just smack you in your face. And you're like, I know this. How do these five words make so much damn sense? You know, I love sunsets. I love music. I love joy. Like just things that make me happy. I love being active. I love connecting with people, you know, and relationships. Everything starts with a relationship, with yourself and relationships with others. You know, the idea of this coaching came at a time where I was very much, and I've said it before, like hashtag team no new friends. I was like, I got enough. Not interested. I don't need more people in my life. And man, like, was I wrong? You know, the more people you have and can experience, like the more opportunities you have to learn and grow with yourself and with others. And you realize that you actually do have more to give. And you have a responsibility. I think we all have a responsibility. You can't just be here and not do anything. You have to give of yourself. So, and I think that's exactly what you're doing with your work. And I appreciate you for that.
Thank you, Clarissa. Thank you. Is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
I think, you know, if I could say one thing, it is to take the time to learn who you are and to accept yourself and to know like you are worth it. You're worth it. Yeah.
I want to thank you for everything that you are bringing into the world. You light up the world. You invigorate people. You inspire them. You push them in places that they didn't even know they could be in. Mm-hmm. So thank you for the gift that you keep on giving out into the world, Clarissa. And we didn't even get to touch on grief, which I wanted to tap into. So I hope you'll come back as a guest again and talk about, you know, you've continuously reinvented yourself throughout this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And the center has always been around children. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to dive a little bit deeper into what that looks like and what keeps you tethered into that. And that, where other people can find some relatability and see themselves within your story so that they can open up.
Happy. Yeah, I would be more than happy to do that.
Okay. Remember to be kind with yourself, Clarissa.
Amen to that.
All right.
Thank you, Nat.
You're welcome. Hey, you made it all the way to the end. Thank you for your time. It's greatly appreciated. If you found any value in this conversation, please share it out with a friend. Help us grow the dialogue. Let us create the safe spaces of healing. You can find more information at www.liftoneself.com. Until next time, be kind with yourself.